Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. Let's pause and drop into this moment together. If you'd like, allowing the eyes to close and turning your attention within. And just like in mindfulness, we teach that the breath is always with us. A deep sense of love and joy is always with us as well. It might not feel readily available, but beneath whatever it is that might be in the forefront, that love is there. And so if you feel like you can access a sense of love in your own heart, turning your attention to that feeling of love, and if that love doesn't feel like it's right on the surface for you, just becoming willing to connect with that love within. So sensing, embodying, and owning your sense of willingness. Just breathing. Letting this love lead the way. We don't have to know where. We don't know how, where it's going to. We don't have to know where it's going to take us. We can just trust that love knows. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight. By our request. So taking a few mindful breaths. If you'd like, a nice deep breath. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. So we're going to pick up where we will pick up where we left off, but I feel moved to reread two of the paragraphs that we already read from last week. So if you have the Sparkle Edition, it's on page 398, and we'll begin, it's the first full paragraph on the page, kind of the second paragraph down. The sentence begins with, "Against the ego's insane notion of salvation." So again, page 398 in Sparkle. In the original edition, it is chapter 16, part 8, paragraph number 75. Again, chapter 16, part 8, paragraph number 75 in the original edition. And in Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 16, part 7, paragraph number 6. So here we go. I'll read the three paragraphs from that starting point. Against the ego's insane notion of salvation, the Holy Spirit gently lays the holy instant. We said before that the Holy Spirit must teach through comparisons and uses opposites to point to truth. The holy instant is the opposite of the ego's fixed belief in salvation through vengeance for the past. In the holy instant, it is accepted that the past is gone, and with its passing, the drive for vengeance has been uprooted and has disappeared. The stillness and the peace of now enfolds you in perfect gentleness. Everything is gone except the truth. For a time, you may attempt to bring illusions into the holy instant to hinder your full awareness of the complete difference in all respects between your experience of truth and illusion. Yet you will not attempt this long. In the holy instant, the power of the Holy Spirit will prevail because you joined him. The illusions you bring with you will weaken the experience of him for a while and will prevent you from keeping the experience in your mind. Yet the holy instant is eternal, and your illusions of time will not prevent the timeless from being what it is, nor you from experiencing it as it is. What God has given you is truly given and will be truly received. For God's gifts have no reality apart from your receiving them. Your receiving completes his giving. You will receive because it is his will to give. He gave the holy instant to be given you, and it is impossible that you receive it not because he gave it. When he willed that his son be free, his son was free. In the holy instant is his reminder that his son will always be exactly as he was created. And everything the Holy Spirit teaches you is to remind you that you have received what God has given you. And I'll pause there. Beautiful. So again, here in these three paragraphs that we just read is the reminder that the holy instant is that willingness to drop, to empty ourselves, to drop everything, to drop the blocks in the mind and just experience what is. I love how it says, the stillness and the peace of now enfold you in perfect gentleness. Everything is gone except the truth. Then that second paragraph that we just read, which we read last week, it talks about how illusions that we decide to hang on to will weaken our experience of spirit for a while and will prevent us from keeping the experience in your mind. It's funny because before we started recording the call, I was speaking with Maurice and I was sharing that sometimes when I read my own blog posts, it's like I need to read my blog post to follow my own advice because I've forgotten the lesson, you know, something else has arisen, and it's like, I feel like I've looked at this before, and then it's like, oh, wow, I worked through it then. Let me reread this, and that to me is a great example of how, I still bring illusions, I still bring those false beliefs with me, and that weakens my experience of spirit for a while, but it's not forever. It's just in that tiny moment of being willing again that we open up. And I know we've had that experience, many of us, with the Course, where you read something once and then you read it again and it's like you get it on a whole different level. That's dropping more of those blocks to receive the message that's here. So in this most recent, the last paragraph that we read, this to me speaks to the fact that healing already is. It's already done. It's already complete. It's simply our task to learn how to accept it. So we don't actually need healing. We are already healed. We simply have to learn how to accept that. And that speaks loud and clear to me in these last couple of sentences in this paragraph, where it says, in the holy instant is his reminder that his son will always be exactly as he was created. And everything the Holy Spirit teaches you is to remind you that you have received what God has given you. So it's not like, you know, we're going to get it sometime in the future. We're going to be healed sometime later. It actually is already our truth that we have that healing now. We have that perfection now. We simply have to drop any thought, any belief that it's anything other than that. And also in that last paragraph, I'll just highlight that sentence, your receiving completes his giving. How beautiful is that? I love that. That our accepting of the holy instant of the gifts of God completes God's giving. So I'll pause there. I just talked a lot. So I want to see, does anybody have any insights, any questions, anything coming up in what we just read?
The holy instant seems to be where peace resides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of accepting that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's eternal, it's here, it's now, it's eternal, and just being able to accept that. I went out to dinner with Carol and Pat Corbett before, and I was telling her during the week, I had a real stressful week last week, and Tuesday night, I actually woke up in the middle of the night, I was dreaming that I was at work, working on something, and when that happens, that, you know, it's like, oh, I'll never get back to sleep now. I felt so disturbed by that, and I just realized all of a sudden, wait a minute, I don't have peace is within me now. And I was really quite astonished by the fact that I believed it. And I went back to sleep so easily.
I love it.
And it was a wonderful experience. You know, how many years have I been working with this material? It's like, oh, it's sinking in. That was wonderful. That was a wonderful experience.
Awesome. That's awesome. It makes me think about just, again, the power of suspending the way we think things are. The power of emptying ourselves, really, is another way, you know, that I just was talking about it. But just like you reminded me, Paula, of even just a really simple example that the winters used to really get to me because I grew up in Florida, and so I hated the winters up here. And once I started just working with it as like, oh, this is just really intense sensation, like it's just sensation, it's just a cold sensation,
yeah.
The added like, oh my God, this is awful, is where the suffering was coming from. That was where the torture was coming from. And once I stopped that and just dropped into just, you know, letting it be what it is. So this is a, you know, an example on the level of form, but it still reminds me of that, of what you were saying.
Yeah.
So just the power of what we tell ourselves and how that can be a further block to truth.
Wow.
Corinne.
Yes.
This is Maurice. I have a question.
Hi, Maurice. Sure.
I love this passage. I totally accept it and believe it. And I'm also working with this little book, The Only Little Prayer You Need. And it is, Holy Spirit, please heal my fear-based thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the most appropriate way, because it's already done, in the mind of God, it's already done, but how is the most appropriate way, and it might even be an ego question, how is the right way to pray? I don't know. So I am willing to have your correction if there is one.
And you kind of answered the question in that the answer comes from, you know, within you. I will share now. Okay, I have like three things run through my head really fast. Let me see if I can retrieve them. The prayer that you said was can you repeat the prayer again? Holy Spirit, what was
it's,
it?
Please, Holy Spirit, heal my fear-based thoughts. And then you can add surrounding finances, surrounding my relationship
right.
with my blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm. A tweak that came to mind for me was,
yeah.
Holy Spirit, help me accept that my fear-based thoughts are already healed, like they're already gone.
Yeah.
That was just one idea that came forward for me. But let me give you a personal example, because I can't answer it for you. You know, you have to be where you're at and pray in a way that feels right for you. For me, my way of praying has changed. It used to be, you know, actually early on, it was like, please do this for me, please give me that, you know, please make this not happen. It was those types of prayers. Then it it changed more into, you know, help me, help me, help me. And then it feels to me like it's sort of morphed further into just feeling a sense of gratitude for what is, feeling a sense of gratitude for truth. And the Song of Prayer, if anybody hasn't read that, I highly, highly suggest it. It's that there's two different supplements to A Course in Miracles. One is psychotherapy, one is the Song of Prayer. And the Song of Prayer talks about, I haven't read it in a while, so it's not totally on the surface of my mind, but it talks about, you know, the prayer of supplication, like asking for things versus just,
right,
you know, true prayer being a joining, being a song of thanksgiving, really, for what,
right,
what it is that we are. And in that sense, when I am listening to Holy Spirit, when I'm listening to that voice within me, I feel like I'm praying all the time because it's just like, la, like, yay, like, this is, you know, like, I love, I feel this, I am just, you know, grateful for truth. So I think that we have to do what feels right for us, and in those different ways of praying that I've gone through myself, it's all been right for me at the time, including, and I still be like, help, you know, like, help, Holy Spirit, I'm calling on your help because I, you know, I need a miracle here. So I'm wondering if anybody else has any insights or things to share surrounding this idea of prayer.
Well, this is Deidre.
Hi, Deidre.
Hi, Deidre.
I just wanted to say that I was chuckling when I was listening to you, Corinne, because the way that you described your sort of journey with prayer is really similar to my experience, in that in the beginning I would always be sort of asking for things, like asking for an outcome or hoping that certain things would occur a certain way. Or, you know, Holy Spirit, make this be okay or whatever. And then it kind of morphed into not asking for things as much, but just sort of going, I don't know, but tell me what I need to know. Like, in a way. And then now it's been more like, how can I be most helpful? Like, show me how I can show up. And then I sort of wait to hear, like, and I don't do anything now until I feel moved to act, whereas before it was like I was acting out of thinking I needed to accomplish something. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah.
I love those questions, Deidre. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to add, Maurice, that, you know, a great question to ask Holy Spirit is to say, you know, how can I pray? Like, show me. I love, Deidre, how you said, help me. How can I show up? You know, help me, Holy Spirit, look at what I need to look at. Those are just some ideas. But what were you going to say? I feel like I interrupted you.
Oh, no, and thank you for saying that, both you and Deidre, because I am, you know, doing, asking Holy Spirit to look at me. Look at me too, but to look with me on a situation. But when I found this little book, I was, it grabbed me. The author is A Course in Miracles student, and it grabbed me because, you know, I'll be rocking along in my lessons and in my reading, and then I just get, and I think everybody has had this experience, I just feel like I get bombed by the ego, and of course, it's about fear, and usually it's about fear of making the right decision or something, like what's going on in my life right now. So I've had a lot of peace by doing what you had written about, Corinne, asking the Holy Spirit to look with me at this situation. But that other prayer also felt good to me too. But
yeah,
because I'm reading Song of Prayer as well, and I know I'm not supposed. I'm not doing a supplication. Please. I haven't done that in a long time. I know that. Well, I should say, when I'm frightened, I might still do it. But, when I'm purposeful in my practice, that's not a go-to prayer for me anymore. Right. But I love this, that I can say, Holy Spirit, direct me in how I can pray about fear-based thoughts, or direct me how to pray, period. So thank you for that, both of you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for asking such a great question. Such a great question. And I love, it's so funny, I love that you're reading Song of Prayer right now. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
It's so good. Yay.
Thank y'all.
Oh, excellent. Let's read another paragraph. I think we'll definitely get to finish this section tonight. So let's read again. There is nothing, right? There is mm-hmm. nothing. There's nothing you can hold against reality. All that must be forgiven are the illusions you have held against your brothers. Their reality has no past, and only illusions can be forgiven. God holds nothing against anyone, for he is incapable of illusions of any kind. Release your brothers from the slavery of their illusions by forgiving them for the illusions which you perceive in them. Thus will you learn that you have been forgiven, for it is you who offer them illusions. In the holy instant this is done for you in time, to bring to you the true condition of heaven. This paragraph to me sums up that prayer from Nook Santas that we've talked about on the call before. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using blank, for using whoever, to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. I feel like this captures that it's all about self-forgiveness, because it's, again, it always comes back to our own mind and how the sole responsibility of all of us as miracle workers is to accept the undoing of fear in our own minds. So if we are seeing anything but complete love, it's our responsibility to take that, what we see, to the Holy Spirit, to ask for the miracle instead.
It's that there's nothing out there.
Yeah, there's nothing out there.
There's nothing out there.
Mm-hmm. And it's that extreme taking responsibility that's helped me so much. As crazy mm-hmm. as it might sound to say, that crazy situation, whatever that is out there, it's, I'm seeing it, so it must be in my own mind. As weird as that might sound to somebody who's not familiar with this path, taking that extreme responsibility has been enormously helpful for me, because I don't have any resistance with owning that something that I'm, if it's a difficult situation that I'm in, or if certain people are seeming to not treat me well, I've never really had any, or a lot, I should say, of resistance to being willing to experiment that maybe this is coming from my mind. There was this story that I shared, and again, I don't think I can. I shared it with you, Paula, and you, Carol, recently, that story about my husband and the boat race. And I'll just try to recap it really quick, because that was an example where you wouldn't automatically think to look at a situation like that and say, it's coming from my mind. My husband, this is, I don't even know, 5-6 years ago now, basically almost got clobbered by an out-of-control big wood boat that they were racing in a lifeguard tournament, because the waves picked up the boat, turned it parallel to shore, and it was just out of control. Mm. And he had to throw himself backwards as probably an inch of water was between his nose and the boat like rushing past his body. And it happened really quickly, and it was such a close call that I pretty much kind of went mute. Like, I was so upset, I didn't really speak for like 24 hours, and it was through eventually saying, like, okay, you know, I don't know how this situation could come from my own mind, because I was pissed at him, and I didn't understand, even though why he was okay, why I was still so angry at him. I was willing to say, all right, you know, somehow, this is after 24 hours of just being pissed. I was finally willing to say, all right, this is coming from my mind somehow. I'm willing to look at it. And what came forward, you know, from spirit within was a huge shift in that it is a picture that his almost, you know, it wasn't quite a near-death experience, but you know what I mean, his close call showed me how attached I still am to my identity as Corinne, and it made me intensely angry that there, you know, that was being shown to me. So it was like that mirror, and that was an opportunity, you know, for me to do some deep work. So I just throw that out there about this idea of, you know, taking responsibility for what we see and just remembering that it like Paula, you just said, there's no one else out there. It is, we are all joined.
And that's really why there's no separation between any of us. You know,
right.
There's only one thing going on. There's only one of us here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's always about loving yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's tricky.
Anybody? Oh, it is tricky, of course.
It's real tricky.
Although at the same time, it's so simple and so obvious.
Yeah.
It's only ever ego that's complex.
That's the ego is saying
Yep. It's
tricky. It doesn't want
right,
us
right.
to get this.
Hello?
Sneaky little devil snuck right in there, didn't it?
Alicia, Bob, was that you?
Yeah. This has brought up something that I what you just shared brought up something that I've been experiencing or just thinking along the lines of a particular way. So finally I'm getting to the point where, you know, when certain things come up, I'm looking in myself and saying, okay, you know, kind of like what you were saying, this is a reflection of my own mind. And then I'll say, okay, obviously I'm experiencing this for a reason. What do I need to look at? So recently I was, you know, I live in Atlanta and traffic is like always bad during rush hour and it's just awful. So I'm driving and I'm trying to get to a location and the traffic is all just backed up, you know, and I'm trying to get to the bank. So to deposit some cash, like get to the bank. Well, first of all, as I'm going to the bank, I end up passing by my bank, which I didn't know I forgot there was one in this location. So I'm like, oh, great. You know, so I pull over to the one closer. I'm like, okay, yay. So I pull up to the bank, you know, and I go to, you know, go through the whole process, put my card in and everything. And rather than pressing that I'm going to deposit cash, I put that I'm deposit check. So once I go to deposit the cash, not just I wasn't paying attention, it's like, oh, you know, wrong entry. Anyway, long story short, it ate my card and I couldn't deposit the cash and I really needed to deposit the cash and I was so frustrated. And I just took a deep breath and I was just like, okay. I'm like, now by this time, I'm trying to rationalize myself and make myself be at peace and go through the whole talking to the Holy Spirit. I'm like, okay, you know, so I just take a moment and I'm like, okay, what is this about? What is this about? You're projecting this. You created this. Why? And I tell you, like, just asking that question rather than just being, like, mad, like, oh, God is against me. This is not fair. To, hey, what is it that I need? What is it that I'm not seeing? And later on, I had this thought as it pertaining to that. So a lot of times in my life, I'm thinking to myself, oh, the next thing that I need to be doing, my purpose is over there. I need to be doing this over there. And what came to my mind was, you know what?
maybe that, maybe what I'm looking for in my life, maybe it's closer than I think. So thinking about, okay, the bank being closer than what I think, right? And then I got up there and I'm like, okay, I'm in the right location. Maybe I'm exactly where I need to be. Okay, boom, I'm at the right bank. Maybe I'm even using the right vehicle to get there. Okay, the ATM is supposed, you know, it's the right vehicle for me to be able to deposit cash, but I wasn't paying attention. And so I got this whole epiphany that what I need in my life and the direction I need to go, I'm like, it's right here. It's in front of me. It's closer than I think. And you know what? I just need to pay attention. And so I spent the next few days just paying attention and being more present. And it just made a significant difference in how I showed up and not throughout the day. And one of the things that I did is it made me think about one of my mentors, and I called her up and I'm like, hey, I really want to see you just because I wanted to see her. And we ended up having a great time, and it led to just other really wonderful opportunities. So I say that to say, I really believe it was only because I had asked a question. I'm projecting this because this is happening because I need to see it. And I don't think I would have gotten that out of it had I just been pissed off and angry, like the universe and God is mad at me and I'm pissed. And I was so happy and so proud and just so humbled for that breakthrough. So, yeah, that was a couple of days ago when what you just shared, Corinne, really reminded me of that.
That's
yeah.
A real miracle.
Oh, my gosh. It mm-hmm. really is. It really is. And that learning, like, mm-hmm. about, you know, like, the like, it's right here. Like, you just need to pay attention. That, I mean, the Course teaches us so clearly that the holy instant is the only instant there is. There's only now. There's no past. There's no future. There's only now. Like we just read when we started, the stillness and the peace of now enfold you in perfect gentleness. And it's when we're listening to a different voice of the past or of the future, not fully, you know, present, that we can so easily slip back into, you know, listening to the ego. And Alicia, about you sharing that story reminded me of another story. And just typically now when I have to go out and do errands, I'd say more often than not, I'm just present. I'm doing what I need to do, and I don't feel a sense of urgency or a sense of rush, but that's not always the case. And mm-hmm. I can think of a time when I went out to run errands and, like, three people cut me off. One person was tailgating me. Costco wastes too much food. Like, all these little things that I started noticing and getting really pissed off about, and recognizing, though, that it's not, you know, everybody else. Like, I had already chosen for ego. I was already listening to that judgmental voice even before I left. And it was like, you know, that experience then of going out and doing errands was reflective of who I was already listening to. So again, it wasn't about them doing anything to me. It was, mm-hmm. it was which,
you know what?
Which voice, you know.
What comes to
yeah,
my mind with this is when, if you're not thinking with God, you're not thinking at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
when all this craziness comes about. Remember I told you on the last call, I talked about people I went out to dinner with, and it just was a really uncomfortable evening. And I certainly wasn't thinking with God when I went into that situation. But then when we had on the call, the material just was all about that. And I made a conscious decision. I think I even said, I'll just won't go out with them next week. I'll just skip it. But that didn't happen. And I wound up going out with them, but I was thinking with God. What would God be saying in this situation that I'm not saying? And I tell you, that whole evening turned out so beautifully. You know, it was just being willing, you know, to be
yeah.
at peace. And
mm-hmm.
It
That's
really
huge.
Is quite amazing. To be just what you said, aware, paying attention.
Yeah, yeah. And what you said, Paula, is so key, that if we're not thinking with God, we're not thinking at all. If we're not mindfully aware and choosing
yes.
to do whatever with Holy Spirit, who are we doing it with? Ego, you know.
Boy, I'll tell you.
There.
That becomes effortless, you know, that thinking with the ego, when you're so entrenched in the world. That's how we're, in a sense, raised to be like that. So this is the total reversal of this material, is the total reversal of all of that. So it's really a matter of being patient with ourselves, too, because, you know, we can get it.
You know,
absolutely.
Sorry.
Go for it, Deidre.
You know, Corinne, how you were talking before about taking 100% responsibility for and in the willingness, depending on which voice you're listening to at the time, you can use that kind of statement to sort of beat yourself up for not being a good core student or not doing it right or whatever. Or can, like for me, I've noticed in my own practice, if I start asking why something is happening, it's an immediate cue to me that I'm using something to make myself guilty, or the belief that I'm stepping into the belief that isn't in alignment with love. And so I'm constantly catching myself. Like even just today, I caught myself asking why to something and I stopped, because that why is we want to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like we want the control of trying to figure out what's happening. And if I just allow...
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, if I just allow without judging it, because the minute I start judging it, I'm not listening to love. I'm trying to go somewhere else. And it's a really subtle thing. It takes the willingness to go, oops.
that's
it. And there's
that's
nothing
awesome.
Wrong
with I'm so-
why. If that's where you're at, that's just an observation I've made in my practice. So I'm not making a judgment on anybody asking why. I'm just saying
I mean, sometimes it can, asking why can be really helpful, but I get what you're saying, how the ego can take why and, you know, use it for guilt. And in the counseling classes that I teach and in my training as a counselor, you're trained not to ask clients why. Well, why are you doing that? You know, that's a perfect question to make somebody defensive. So, you know, to raise guilt. And that's recognized in the counseling profession. So, of course, that can equally apply to ourselves.
Well, and the other comment I was going to make, thank you for reminding me, because it was part of the reason why I spoke up in the first place, was responsibility actually means, or to me, when someone pointed it out to me, a really awesome course teacher, it's the ability to respond.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about why something is happening. It's how am I going to choose to respond here?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what responsibility brings to mind for me.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. That's great.
I like that too. I like that.
Awesome.
That's a tweetable, girl.
That is totally tweetable.
We can really twist that and make ourselves feel bad for, you know, I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it well enough. Or I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a spiritual person. But it's really... it's just the ability to respond.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that kind of takes any other meaning off that might come up.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Let's read another paragraph. Remember that you always choose between truth and illusion, between the real atonement, which would heal, and the ego's atonement, which would destroy. The power of God and all his love without limit will support you as you seek only your place in the plan of atonement arising from his love. Be an ally of God and not the ego in seeking how atonement can come to you. His help suffices, for his messenger understands how to restore the kingdom to you and to place all your investment in salvation in your relationship with him.
I absolutely love that paragraph.
Right?
Because,
it's
so wonderful because no matter, you just can't get it wrong. You just can't. And no matter, you could be in the middle of the biggest attack upon yourself, and just remembering to call in the Holy Spirit and process it through with Holy Spirit, and you're back on track.
Right.
Every time. There's no exception to this.
My eyes are resting on that sentence. The power of God and all his love without limit will support you. How can we think that we can fail? How can we possibly think that
we judge ourselves so harshly?
Right.
Oh, I'm a spiritual student, and look at the way I'm behaving, and
it's not true. It just takes moment of willingness to hand that over to see it differently. So that's just such a comforting sentence. The power of God and all his love without limit will support you. Be an ally of God. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, then the last sentence, his help suffices for his messenger, so the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit understands how to restore the kingdom to you. That's where we get so tripped up when we think we have to figure it out. We think we have to figure out the way to get there. And we don't know. It's the Holy Spirit, which is our higher mind, which is our right mind, that knows the way. And so, again, our tiny little part is just simply to step back and let him lead the way. Let the Holy Spirit lead the way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hi, Carla.
Right.
Hi, Carla.
Hey, Fancy.
Beautiful. Anybody have anything else coming up?
Hi, this is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, everyone. I think what I have coming up is I was listening a little bit to something, Corinne, that you posted about anxiety, anxiety and honesty. And it may be a really old post. And
Not too old.
No, you know, and it's not too old. Okay, because I was going through some of your posts back to 2013. It's been a while, but I don't
I guess
that
so.
Just, you know, at any rate, it was a video, and maybe you remember the one I'm talking about, and it was really talking about based on from anxiety to love and where you started all this and from where you came from. You know, it's funny, but I kind of glimpsed over that whole piece. I don't know why. You know, I guess you see what you see when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, talking about this paragraph here and talking about honesty and honesty in the way we live our lives here, I don't know. I've just been really looking at things and looking at what I'm doing. And that piece from anxiety to love, and I thought, well, you know, I'm not anxious. I don't have any anxiety. And then I looked again, and I said, well, you're kidding. I just noticed, but you know, I can tell you, I don't know exactly I have, I was just commenting that what I notice on the call, a lot of resistance comes up, but when I'm listening by myself, I'm okay. You know, I like some, it'll be a Monday and I'm at work and I'm listening to this call from Sunday night again, and it'll be okay. And I'm sitting here and just thinking to myself, okay, I have to say to the part of my mind that is doing that, whatever you want to call it, I'm on to you. I don't know what this is about, but I'm on to you. So, I don't know. I think we grow with the speed we're supposed to grow, but it really, I was looking at this paragraph and listening to what I listened to earlier, and then my lesson for today was lesson 15, and my thoughts are images. Oh my God, I can't even remember. It has to see is what I see out there. It's coming from my mind, and it's just images. It's not vision. It's images.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that I can try to tie that all in together, or you can understand that all together. But just taking time to be present and to choose again. And I give you guys so much credit because I know if you can do it, I can do it. To say, okay, no, I can choose to be angry, or I can step back and say, what's going on here? You know, taking responsibility. So just thank you for letting me share.
Oh, Angela, thank you for sharing. And the credit that you're giving us, you deserve to give yourself that credit. I give you that credit because you have come so far and being able to recognize everything that you just described is huge. The fact that, you know, you can see when the resistance arises, but then see later on, you know, when it's not there, and just that acknowledgement of like, hey, I'm on to you. I can sense the shift in you. I think I said that to you not too long ago that, you know, I can sense that shift. And so I give you a lot of credit. And again, the progress that any one of us makes is benefiting all. Like it's all, we're all in this together. So if we see somebody else seemingly having, you know, made all this progress, that progress is yours because there's one mind, there's one split mind, not, you know, there's not many egos, there's one ego, there's one mind. And so that progress is for all of us. It's only the ego's voice that would say something different. So you're doing good work.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yes. Oh, let's, I do want to finish up this section before the end of the hour. We have about 9 minutes left, so let's read the next paragraph. We have two left. Seek and find his message in the holy instant where all illusions are forgiven. From there, the miracle extends to bless everyone and to resolve all problems, be they perceived as great or small, possible or impossible. There is nothing that will not give place to him and to his majesty. To join in close relationship with him is to accept relationships as real and through their reality to give over all illusions for the reality of your relationship with God. Praise be to your relationship with him and to no other. The truth lies here and nowhere else. You choose this or nothing. That's so beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yes,
it is.
Ah. From there, the miracle extends to bless everyone and to resolve all problems, be they perceived as great or small, possible or impossible. I'll read the next paragraph. This final prayer now, as I read this, this is A Course in Miracles version of the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember that prayer? I can't think how it starts. Lead us
our
not
Father,
into temptation,
Lord,
but deliver us. Yes, thank you. This is A Course in Miracles version of that prayer. Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Mm. Amen.
Mm.
That prayer, I'm going to post a link on the Miracle Share group. And actually, yeah, I'll post it there. It's a video of Bill Thetford saying that when he and Helen were typing this up together, Helen burst into tears as she read this, as she typed this. And then he reads the prayer. I just am not used to seeing video of him. I only ever see photos, so it was a really awesome find to come across. So I'll share that on the study group group on Miracle Share. So if anybody's interested, mm-hmm. you can check it out.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I have for a long time started saying, because I go to some recovery meetings that they use the Lord's Prayer, so I say, lead us not in temptation.
Yeah.
I say it the way it works for me, and I say, deliver me from ego, and everybody snickers.
I love that.
But that's okay, because I always say, you know, I don't have a problem with evil. Evil does not touch me. It's what goes on between my two ears that I have a problem with, and that's the ego. So,
right.
But this,
right.
I love this, and this has been so helpful to me. I just can't tell y'all. So, I'm just so grateful.
I feel that way every week.
Yeah. I'm so committed to this. If I'm not ever here, it's because something's come up. So. But I'm so committed to attending. I'm just so happy.
Oh, so glad.
Thank you.
I'm so happy, too.
Thank you.
Gratitude, Maurice, that you just expressed, I feel that for this group. I see this is just such a blessing that we all come together each week to do this work, because as we've shared before, as we share these ideas, we're strengthening them. As we share them, we're strengthening them in our own minds. And so it feels so good. I had some degree of stress earlier today, and I was just looking forward to this call, and the feeling in my core is just so different than the stress that I was feeling earlier. It's really, this work is really like a big reset button.
And I love what you said. I'm so sorry.
No, bringing it back home.
But I love what you said, because I think, let's see, how did you just say that it's strengthening within each of us, because there isn't a Course in Miracles group anywhere in my area, like not even 50 miles out. And sometimes I've allowed ego to pull me down with, you know, like in feelings of loneliness about, not loneliness just in life, but just feeling alone in the process, you know, of studying. And so this is what I've been calling for without even like actually saying it. My heart has been calling for it, you know, and so that's my gratitude. It's very deep.
I feel it. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah.
Just the fact
beautiful.
That we can be in our jammies and be in bed with the cats and have this, I mean, what more could you want? I mean, it is a reset button. It really is. It really is. When I miss this, and then some weeks I'll even miss yoga, I'm such a mess by the time Sunday comes around. It's like, oh, my God, I can't wait for the school.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Oh, wow. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So we're not going to read anymore because that feels like a good place to stop for this week. Does anybody have any other comments or insights, anything to share to feel complete? I will say, too, the other thought, Maurice, that just came up for me is that this is a different mm-hmm. language. This is a different mm-hmm. – we're speaking a different language that, you know, we have been willing to become familiar with. I can remember when my mom – back in the day, I started this in 97, so she tried to give it to me probably, I don't even know, maybe 94, something like that. It sounded, I didn't get it, it sounded totally foreign, and I didn't want to hear it. And through slowly, you know, having that willingness and wanting to know, wanting to deepen this, it literally has been, it is like learning a different language. And so getting to share, getting to speak that language with others, and like we talked about, you know, therefore strengthening them for each other is just really, mm-hmm. really beautiful. Really.
Yeah, awesome. And it's a recognizing, you know, like a recognition is something we've seen before or something that we, and I don't know
yeah.
how to put it in a quotation from the book, but I kind of feel the quotation in my heart, but I just can't remember it. But I also look at the word recognition of recogging. I'm recogging my mind.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Resetting
yeah.
the
yep.
cog
yep.
in my mind. And yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. That's perfect. Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, so much. I'm giving a big group hug.
I'm giving you
and,
a big group hug.
Yes. Big hug.
Big hug.
Have a beautiful, beautiful week, everyone, and we'll connect again next week.
Thanks, family.
Bye.
Love you.
You.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Love
you all.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.